Welcome back, everybody. We are in podcast 14. I am Joe with Cowboy Cartel.
I'm Lana with Cowboy Boots, Hats, and Western Life Enthusiasts.
And being that it's podcast 14, you would think we would know what we were doing by now, but we don't, clearly. We had all kinds of problems getting started. There's always something, and we were talking about that. Last podcast, we started live streaming to Facebook at the same time. And we don't know how to take questions from there. I guess there are comments there. We're trying to work that out. But anyway, Lionel, got your hat all fixed up. I know you're wearing your 40X. Wait, tell us,
yes,
tell
sir.
Us what you're wearing there.
Yep, so I got my 40X deal, and Andy from the Bass Hat Store was able to fix that up for me and take care of me while I was there in Cowboy Christmas.
Nice. And what is that? So that, what did we do there? It's like 10 inches wide?
So he widened this up, I think, just a hair, just a bit. And then he sharpened it on each sides and relaxed it a little bit more and made it wider on the sides. And then he just kind of kept the back a bit still, like, you know, kind of bold in the back. Uh-huh. And he just sharpened it and made it exactly what I wanted. And also he dipped it a little bit more.
So is that a, what is that? Is that 10 inches? Is it 8 inches wide?
You know, I didn't even check the measurements, but it probably is about 10 inches wide.
Yeah, it looks a little bigger than a JB.
Yeah.
Not quite a CHL.
Yeah.
So did you wear that? Did you wear that on the flight back, or
what would you do? Yeah, I wore that. Yep, I just wore it.
Nice. Yeah. If you're watching on Facebook, I will get this figured out, and if you have comments, next time we'll be able to take comments, I hope. Anyway, so I'm wearing my chocolate 200X, and this is what I wore to work today, so I just figured I'd keep it on for the podcast. Retail is crazy around Christmas time. I'm not from a retail background, and this is my first Christmas in a retail store. I went in today. I wasn't scheduled, but I went in yesterday, and it was quite busy, and I had some things to do, so I couldn't stay more than about 3 or 4 hours yesterday, and I shaped hats for the entire time I was there, one after another. And so I decided to go in today, and I got there when we opened this morning, and I stayed until about 4 o'clock because I knew I had to get back here and get ready for the podcast, and I had some things to do. But I probably could have, you know, worked open to close and done nothing but shape hats one after another. It was a crazy day, and I anticipate if we don't get any new hats in, sometime at the beginning of the week, the next 2 or 3 days, we're not going to have any hats for Christmas Eve. They're going to be gone.
Is that just Americans or other brands as well?
No, it's everything. It's Stetson, Resistol, the Cavenders brand hats, Rodeo King. And I'm talking about the higher end hats. There's always going to be some of those straw leftovers that, you've got probably 2 or 3 straws go out the door a day. People still wanting to buy straws. Well, and it's probably 40 degrees outside right now. People are still wearing straws here. We get a lot of tourists, and they want to come in and they want to buy a hat. And I don't know, for some reason they think the straw is the thing to buy. And really, there's not a huge price difference. You know, if you're getting a $100 straw or $150 straw or an $80 felt, I mean, wool hat, I don't know. It's a little interesting.
Do you ever get any of those stores that wonder, like, why is it that you have to, like, they had no idea that you steamed a hat and shaped it?
I tell you what, at least 75% of the people who come in have no idea what an open crown is. They think that's the shape of the hat, and they don't like it. That's just how it is, man. They don't know that they get shaped. So, you know, when I sell a hat, I say, all right, because we sell probably 90%, if not more, pre-shaped hats. And I will look at every pre-shaped hat that I sell and make sure that it's even, you know, symmetrical on either side. And then I will say, you know, do you like this shape? Do you want to change the shape? And if they say no, then I will still check it on their head and make sure, because most pre-shaped hats, the brim is off or the crown is off to their face. So, I mean, I sold a 100X Stetson $1,000, $1,025 hat today to a guy who loved it and was about to walk out the door with it. And I said, you know, I said, do you want to change anything on the shape? He said, no, I like it. I looked at him and, you know, the brim, it's only about 2 inches, the opening on 100X. And it was at least an inch, you know, to the left of his face. And I'm like, man, I got to fix that. So, I mean, you know, it's just stuff like that. You know, I get a lot of Europeans, they want the open roads or a felt cut down. They want the smaller hats. They don't want to go full cowboy. Some Aussies come in and they'll buy those leather Outback style hats. The leather Outback style hats, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, wow.
There's about three in the store at all times.
No West Texas punch for them.
Oh man, talk about West Texas punch. So yesterday, I wasn't on the schedule yesterday either. I don't work any weekends. I work Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, and that's it, because that's all I can manage with all I've got going on. If I have a weekend free or a few hours free on the weekends, I will go in and do the hat shaping. Well, I decided I'd go in yesterday and do some shaping. I got there, and we've got a new guy shaping hats. He came up from San Antonio. He's been a shaper for a while, but he was holding a 40X American Silver Belly that a guy had brought in, open crown, and wanting it shaped into a cattleman, but it was a 5-inch brim. And that's, I'd never worked on a 5-inch brim. And, you know, our new hat shaper was asking me for some advice on it. And I was telling him how to actually get the dip at the temple, or, you know, right here, and kind of get this concave shape in the brim. And you do that just by, you take it and you hold it in the back and you hold it at your line here, and you kind of bend it across your belly in this area, and that will tweak this here. And I was showing him how to do that, and so I wound up, he tried it a few times, and I wound up shaping the brim for the guy. And then we wound up just redoing the whole crown. And long story short, this brim is so big that when I had to redo the crown, there's just no way to do the crown without getting steam on that huge brim. So, you know, it just fell. And so I had to do the brim again. It was probably an hour-long process. But man, that brim is difficult. I mean it's so big. The whole hat is so big, it's hard to even maneuver around it to do things. I mean, 5 inches, it might seem like nothing. But if you're used to a 4-inch brim and you go to a 5-inch brim, that's 2 inches all the way across the hat, you know?
Yep.
And I'm telling you, it's like a bed sheet. It's huge.
I gotta say, man, you know, y'all are definitely artists, because I mean, Andy, I described like exactly what I wanted, and he just listened to me, and I'm like, you know, I wanted him to, you know, I don't have a lot of chances to have, you know, him the shape of the hat or whatever. So I told him, like, you know, a bunch of description of exactly what I wanted, you know, the sharp angles, wide ends, a little bit more relaxed, like semi-relaxed, this and that. And he's like, I'm like, I hope it's not too complicated. He's like, no, you know, it's not all that complicated. And I'm like, you know, I'm thinking, you know, I gave him all this description. It sounds hard. You know what I mean? And then he's, you know, I'm thinking, you know, at the same time, me giving him all that information is actually helping him to actually understand exactly what I want. And that right. was the case, because he was able to shape it up. And I'm like, I think like 3 or 4 minutes later, like in 3 or 4 minutes, it was just done. And I'm like, geez, man, it's like, I'm like, man, you're just phenomenal. I thought it was going to take forever with all the description I gave him. And he right. just whipped it out like that. And I'm like, man, that's perfect. I'm like, I'm like, man, you guys are just great. And I spoke to Andy on the via text message or messenger just earlier this week. And I told him, hey, you know, here's the video that I made for y'all. And he got back to me with, I also thanked him for actually shaping the hat. And he got back to me with, you know, how he liked the video, how nice it was and everything. And I'm like, man, I'm just grateful for you guys, and, you know, really grateful for how you shaped up my hat in Vegas.
Yeah, you know, and he's a really good guy. You know, after I did the video with him, you know, I sent it to him also, and he really liked it. You know, he thanked me for it, and, you know, thanked me for, you know, trusting him with my hat. You know, and just, you know, really just a great guy to talk to.
Yeah.
He's a really nice guy, you know, and, you know, all around good experience with Andy and, you know, with Ryan and with Joby. You know, I haven't had a bad experience with, you know, Best Hat or Joby ever, you know. So just really good, really good people, really knowledgeable. And you know, that goes to the more you do it, the more you work on a hat, the more practice you have, and they get a lot more practice than me. You know, they do this every day, all day. And so, you know, just you get more comfortable with it, and you start to know, you know, all right, JB, that's 8 inches wide, and, you know, dip and, you know, round back. You know, you get to know it. But I'll tell you what, a lot of these people have no idea what they want when they walk in. And I would say, I don't know, man, maybe 50% of the time, if somebody doesn't know what they want, I don't know, maybe 90% of the time, if somebody doesn't know what they want, they'll say, your hat looks good, let's, you know, do it like that. Yeah. It doesn't matter what I'm wearing. I at first I thought it was, you know, just this brim, because I thought, this brim's great. You know, it is a great brim. I love it.
Yeah.
And I thought it was just this one, but it's whatever hat I'm wearing. If I'm wearing my Silver Belly, which is, you know, has the Howdy Mams, they'll ask for that one. It's, you know, it, I just think they don't know what they want, and they see it, and it's a clean shape, you know, because it's done by, you know, serious professionals, and it stays. That's another thing. You know, I could talk all day about this kind of stuff. You know, these guys at work every day, they're bending and tweaking their hats and spraying cleaner on it. I have never sprayed cleaner on any of my hats. I have never had to tweak any of my hats after they've been shaped. You know, I take that back. You know, some two hats have fallen and they've had to be fixed once, and then that was it. But that was after the first shape. But these guys, they seriously tweak on their hats maybe 3 times a day. I mean, I don't know what they're doing. You know, just leave it alone. Don't touch it.
Exactly. I mean, just put it back in the case and leave it alone.
I don't know if it's the camera or if the travel was hard on it, but your left corner here looks.
Yeah, I noticed that a bit.
Yeah, a little high.
This side, right?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to pull that down.
Your left.
This one's a little lower, right? Yeah.
So yeah, that one's lower. Yeah, right. Your left is a little high. Yeah.
Better.
No, yeah, I don't think you're gonna fix it like that. Maybe.
Yeah.
But
Yeah, I noticed that a bit too. I'm like,
probably the travel or whatever.
yep.
Anyway, yeah, so there's a lot of it's a crazy, you know, it's like anything else. It's something you can't really just play at. I have seriously taken this on as like an apprenticeship almost, you know? Like I want to know exactly why what I do changes something else somewhere else, and you know, I want to know the fastest way to get it done the right way, you know, so I
Right.
can get to as many hats as I can, you know. So, you know, somebody comes in there and you know, they don't. If you don't know what you're doing, you can get a shape out of it, but it's not going to be right.
Yep.
I mean, it might look okay, but it's not, you know, it's not formed correctly. You know,
Yeah.
if that makes any sense.
Yeah, you just gotta. I mean, there. You know, I mean, it might just be off that little bit, but you don't know. You know, again, there's so many tricks, and you think that you're doing the right thing, but you know, you ain't.
Well, it's not even that, you know. Like I shaped a Rodeo King for this guy today, and he was wearing a hat that one of our guys had shaped for him, and it looked like complete crap, man. It like somebody just took the wings and they just, you know, folded them in half. There was no you know, kind of swooping angles to it. There was no
Yep.
definition to it. It was just like folded in half. It looked awful. And so he, you know, he told me he wanted the Rodeo King shaped in a brick, with the sides similar to his. And so I said, okay. I shaped the brick and I showed it to him. And he's like, that's better than what I'm wearing. You know, it was perfect. You know, I measure everything. I that might be my engineering background, but everything I do, I measure. I measure, if I'm doing a brick, I measure all four corners from the brim to the top of the crown, make sure it's even. And then I'll measure the width of the brick in the front and width of the brick in the back to make sure it's symmetrical. You know, so I measure every part of the hat. And if I bend in something, if this point to this point is 4 inches here, it better be 4 inches on that side too. You know,
Right.
that's how I do it.
Now,
But
do you use
I'm
a
really quick
ruler?
at it. Yeah, I've got two rulers. I got a square, I got a framing square and a ruler on my bench, and I take them with me when I go in there. And a tape measure. So everything gets measured.
Yep. So, do you think, like, after a while, like, some of these shapers, they don't even use rulers or anything like that. So, do you think after a while, like, you know, they just learn how to, like, size it without even needing to see or with see it with a ruler.
Yeah, I'll tell you, one came in today from a very well-known hat shaper. And the guy had dropped it. And, you know, he kind of had dirt on the side and it kind of crushed the side of a brick top. And I'm looking at it. And so I straighten it out. And I'm looking at it in my hand. And the brick is actually off center, like a quarter of an inch. And man, you know, I know who did this hat. I can't believe that it looks like this. And then I had the guy put it on, and it was 2 inches to one side, man. The whole it was a big 9 inch. It was a 9 inch opening, and it was off almost 2 inches in one direction. I'm like, dude, your hat is completely off. I said, do you want me to fix it? And he's like, yes, please. So I had to fix it. And so, you know, yes, you can eyeball it. I could eyeball it. But I prefer to be more precise because
Right.
I, you know, that's just kind of my background. And, you know, so that's just how I do it. I could eyeball it, and I do straws because they're easier to adjust if after you've shaped them, if you have messed them up really bad. They're more easy than a felt. So, you know, but yeah, so. that's kind of why I measure everything, because even somebody who's perceived to be, you know, top tier shaper, if it's wrong, it's wrong.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, definitely. You know, and like I said, you know, you might not be able to see it at a quick glance, but after a while, I mean, if you look at it, you know, up close, you're like, yeah, man, I could see that, you know, being off a bit.
It happens, and this is kind of why I started measuring everything, because I would look at it and I would tweak it and I would get it right, and then I would put it down if somebody had walked away and to come back and get their hat later, you know, whatever. And I'd pick it back up later, you know, 10, 15 minutes, and I'd look at it, and then you notice something that's wrong. You know, sometimes if you're looking at it too hard, you don't see it.
Yeah. So exactly.
And I've shaped my own hats that, you know, I'll come back the next day and I'll look at it and say, man, that's a little off.
Yeah.
So that's why I measure everything, that I don't have to stress it.
Yep, most definitely.
Like, and it just takes me a second. Right now,
at like this, I might have to just do a little tweaking. Maybe I'll just put on the, you know, steamer, you know, just tweak that a little bit. You know, that just needs to be coming down on this side right here a little bit. Oh, give me 1 second.
Yep. That was Clay. He said he just got done with church, so he might join us tonight.
I don't know. Nice. That's awesome.
We're live, Lionel. I guess I'll just talk to myself.
He has to get home, though.
So last week, like I said, last week was our first week doing the live stream on Facebook. And Garrett Wilson was helping out while you and Clay were gone. That podcast took me forever to edit also, because there was something happened. I don't know if it had something to do with the live stream, but like the last 30 minutes of the podcast, look, Netflix is on. I left my TV on, I guess. The last 30 minutes of the podcast, I had no audio on my portion of it, you know, so I had to go find a backup copy of it, and I had to kind of piece it together. It was a mess. Clay's 40 minutes out. I don't think he's going to make it.
Put on Dale Brisby, How to Be a Cowboy.
Yeah, that's what I'm doing. It's probably copyright protected.
I just told Clay
he might miss the,
Yeah, I don't think he's going to make it.
Yeah, he says he's 40 minutes out. I told him he might miss the final episode of season one. Did we mention that yet? This is going to be our final episode of season one. We weren't sure if we were going to end it on last week or last podcast or this one, but since nobody was here, but me, I thought, you know, might as well have one more and hear Lionel's account of Cowboy Christmas and kind of wrap up the year. And then we'll be back probably mid-January for season two.
Yep.
Anyway,
and, so did you tell him? Oh, sorry.
Go ahead. No, go ahead.
Did you tell him the other thing?
Who?
That season two is going to be scripted?
No.
Taylor Sheridan is writing it.
He's Taylor Sheridan. Yeah, he's writing that for us. Yes, it'll probably be bloody. It'll be some blood. but anyway, so actually, you know, we've been talking hats, which is not a problem. You know, that's kind of how this goes. It seems like most of the podcast revolves around hats, and then we kind of touch on boots at some point. Sometimes we talk about denim too. Anyway, so reason we're here is to hear your account of Cowboy Christmas, and so tell me what that looks like. I'm gonna open this up here. I sent you a map last week when we were talking. I just want to kind of get a look at it. And tell me how that went. What so you flew out of Florida, you got to Vegas, and you went to I know you went to George Strait, but did you got to Vegas late probably, right?
Yeah, I got to Vegas around 11:30 Vegas time, so my flight was around 9:20 and Eastern Standard Time, and then got to Vegas 5 hours later, so 11:30 Vegas time. So,
So you probably didn't do any cowboy stuff that night.
no, not at all. Yeah, I had my nephews and my brother and my sister-in-law with me, along with my mother, and it was real fun. I mean, I had so on the first night I didn't really get to do anything. Next day I woke up, had some breakfast, and headed out. Used a monorail every time because I stayed at the MGM Grand, and I was able to go back and forth using the monorail because it went directly to right over to Las Vegas Convention Center. So that was good. Convenient. Got me there in
How
about
long
10
did it?
minutes.
10 minutes?
Yep, about 10 to 15 minutes to get to the convention center from there. And so on the first night, it was my brother's birthday on the 3rd of December, but my mom actually got me George Strait tickets for December 3rd. And I told my mom, I'm like, hey mom, it's Jonathan's birthday on December 3rd, and George Strait was going to be there on the 2nd and the 3rd. And she's like, well, go and see if they'll give you tickets for tonight instead of tomorrow night. I said, okay. So I went back and I said, hey, I'm here to pick up or to change my tickets for George Strait. And the guy's like, well, I'm gonna be able to switch him. I got tickets right here, and you could just go ahead and grab this one and go there tonight. So I'm like, perfect. That's great. So I went there, and I told him, I said, hey, are those good seats? He said, well, go over to the concert, and you tell me if they're good seats. So I'm like, okay. Well, I went, and it was literally front row center stage.
Yeah, I saw the pictures, and I mean that's pretty close. Did you get any sweat on you, George Strait sweat? That was close.
I don't, maybe. Maybe.
Those were that's awesome tickets. I know those are probably at least 2 grand a seat because I was looking at tickets last year at the Houston Rodeo, and floor seats in the first 5 rows were like $1,200. So
That's
I
crazy.
didn't make it to that, but I did make it to made it to see him last couple weeks ago. But I think we had a podcast after that, so we talked about that.
Well, they're a
What's
little
that?
bit better value than that. I
Yeah,
think.
I'm comped.
Well, yeah. Besides that, the actual ticket on it said $400.
Oh yeah, nice. That's cheap.
Yeah, that's
That's
not bad
cheap.
at all for front row.
No.
I guess because they had, I guess it's a bigger arena, so there's a lot more
Maybe
front row
that's.
seats. So I
Yeah,
think
maybe
that's what
that's
it
what it is.
is. And he does this deal where, because it's so
All four
spread out,
corners.
yeah,
He'll
he
hit
does
every.
the, yeah,
Three
did he
songs
do
each
that at,
corner.
yes,
Yeah,
sir.
three songs each corner.
Did he do that at the Houston Rodeo?
Yeah. No, I didn't go
Yeah.
to the Houston Rodeo. I went to the
Oh,
one in
Fort
DFW
Worth.
with Joby.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He did that too.
Yeah. All right, so second night, so on the second you hit George Strait. Did you go to Cowboy Christmas that day or did you wait till the next
Yeah,
day?
I had to actually go to Cowboy Christmas every day.
Okay.
So on the first day I was kind of just walking around looking, and I went, and first place I stopped at, or actually did a video at, was just completely out of the blues. I was just looking at these bootjacks, and I saw that these folks were making bootjacks, and I said, "Well, I told them about what I do," and they're like, "Well, if you want, you could do a video for us." And I'm like, "Yeah, you know what? That sounds great." So it got me to put my equipment to the test and see how I was going to do everything, and so I did it. And the place is called Chuck's Wood Barn, and basically what he does is he specializes in steam bent wood products. So he steams bent wood like you would shape a hat, and then kind of just makes individual pieces of wood to make anything from bootjacks, also making saddle stands, and those trunks, those big old trunks you saw with hidden doors and everything. So that's pretty cool. And apparently that bootjack, how it kind of goes over and twists down. Actually Blackjack uses it, and a few other bootjack brands use that, but apparently it was patented by him. He's the first one that came up with that design. So I did that. I just did a few others. I was just kind of going through Cowboy Christmas on a daily basis, recording different things. And on the final day, I went and did a walkthrough, the whole thing. So that was the last bit I did. I was kind of dreading that one, but I just did it.
Why is that?
Well, just doing a whole walkthrough, it's kind of like, I didn't really think it was gonna be all that great just to walk through with a camera, all around, and just it almost looks like it's purposeless. But I had to go through. The reason why I actually did it on the last day also is because I went through a few of the stands and told them that I was going to pass by, some of the ones, and so folks could say hi, in the stand from Ram, and other ones. So that's why. So also passed by the Bloomers Trailers, and met up over there, and did the video for them to show the full big horse trailer with the living quarters. Of course, we did Best Hats, which was really awesome too. Another one that I stopped at, and that was unplanned also, was Cowboy Revival, and they're an organization that is 100% profit free. I believe, they do actually make a profit. I'm sorry, but not a whole lot. Just enough to cover their expenses. But what they do is that they bring like old fashioned values and cowboy values through music. So they endorse a lot of that. So I went ahead and did one for them. Kerry Kelly Spurs. I felt like I really wanted to get that one done as well. Dale Brisby's Rodeo Times booth.
Yeah, I'm looking at his booth right now. He was right next to the Ariat booth. What's up with that?
He was right next. I don't think
he's between the shitter and the Ariat booth. What's up? What's up with that? They put him right there in the corner. Between two holes.
Oh, I was just gonna say that. That was one of the Ariat's booth, by the way. They had two booths.
Did they?
Yeah. Told me I can't pee there. I'm so. Talk about Ariat.
Yeah.
So, I wanted to order a pair of the Trevor Brazils. I found out that I could buy them and return them. And they had them online, available, ready to go. And they had them at Cowboy Christmas too, but I was just going to order one online so that way they could, you know, ship it to me. I didn't have to carry it back with me and then send it back. I wanted to get that new Trevor Brazil. So I saw my size. I said, you know what, let me go ahead and order it. And I called Ariat up and I said, you know, I want a 12D. And they said a few left in stock. And then after that, she said to me, it's not available. I'm like, okay, do you have any other size 12 available? She says, I have none of them available. It's badly informed online. It says we only have a few left, and we actually don't have any up until March. We're not going to have them back in stock. So
which
those
ones are you looking at?
The Trevor Brazil ones.
Yeah, but what
the
color?
The seventh. Oh, I looked at the. I'll tell you right now. And she says we're going to update our website.
We got a black, blue, brown, and red.
I think it was that kind of like a reddish brown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess
that's the
five,
one I was going to go
five.
With. Does it? Yeah, it still says. Yeah. Let me see. So this 12D. One says estimated. Yeah. Sunday, so they updated the shipping on this one. And see, the blue one still says only a few left. I told her, I asked her, do you have any sizes available? She says, no, not at all. Not till March 12th. Or March.
Yeah.
She didn't give me a specific
date. Yeah, these are saying
date.
January. For, I don't even know what size I would wear in an Ariat. It should be a 10.5, but Ariat's so weird.
I'm usually good with
a
12.
Order. Oh, speaking of Ariat's, on our last podcast that you were not here for, I talked about the Ariat boots that I have that I have never done a review on, and I think I said at that time I'm not going to do the review on them just because I just don't have anything good to say about them, and it doesn't really benefit me to talk bad about them because people love them, and if they don't love them, they're not going to watch the video anyway. So,
right.
I wound up getting rid of both pair of those this week. I shipped them out this week, so those are gone. Not going to be doing a review on them unless you consider this a review.
I just feel at $300, no matter, let's say, I haven't seen those boots, you know, in person.
Yeah.
But for $300, if for $1,300, for $13 more, I can get a pair of Finolio boots that look the same, but are made in the USA and are so much nicer.
Since I'm not going to be doing any reviews on Ariat stuff and I really not going to be buying anything, I don't mind saying that minus 60%, I can get those boots for $119 and I still wouldn't buy them. Even at $100, it's not worth it to me. I mean, and probably those Trevor Brazils are probably made in Mexico. Yeah, it looks like they've got nailed soles. The shanks are nailed, not pegged. But looks like a leather sole. It looks okay. I mean, it doesn't look like a bad boot. But,
no, it doesn't look like a bad boot at all.
But I still wouldn't buy it.
It's probably one of their best looking made boots.
Yeah, I agree. 100%. But I would still much rather have Finolio than that. I don't think there's any reason to even put that toe bug and wrinkle on there. I mean, it does look like a good boot. That shaft looks like the standard, you know, crusty Ariat leather shaft, though.
Yep.
So, anyway, I can't wait to see your review on that because I'm interested in hearing how turns out.
I'll hopefully wait for them till March. So,
y'all stay I mean, you should just get like a 13 or something, or 12 and a half or whatever. No, 13, I guess.
Eh, they might not have any of those either.
Oh, I don't know, man. Maybe.
They might have sold out in Cowboy Christmas.
Could have. It could have. Was Trevor Brazil there? Maybe he was signing boots.
Maybe. I think he was there. Man, there's a few people that were there that I found out later. Rodeo Reed. And a few other people, and I'm like, man, like, I can't believe I missed them. Like, you know, I heard Tough Cooper was there. And he was there, like, right around the same time that I was there, and I just, you know, there's so much people, it's so crowded. I probably just walked, like, probably by him and missed him. You know what I mean? Everybody's, you know, out there wearing cowboy hats. So, you know, Tough Hedman was there, too. I wish I would have like ran into some of these people. I did this whole video with Dale Brisby, Brisby's, place. It was a short video, but it turned out good. It was funny. We had some laughs, with little spoofs in there and stuff. So that was awesome. I was really happy to see Dale again. And the booth was packed. There was so many people waiting for him. He was so cheerful. He had a big old Montana Silversmith belt buckle that they made for him.
Yeah.
And talk about Montana Silversmith. They were really nice and welcomed me when I told them who I was. She just went and said, "Oh, you started that Montana Silversmith group. Cool." And she already knew, that I was coming in for the interview and everything. So, they had everybody, kind of there. And, I just did the whole video, talked to the goat and talked to her about everything. Montana Silversmith, how they got started, doing the belt buckles for the NFRs. And everything. So it was a really good interview. And who else did I get to speak to? So we did Best Hat, Bloomer's Trailers, Cowboy Revival, Montana Silversmith, and of course Finolia Boots.
Yep. See a shirt. Nice shirt.
Thank you.
I went with the green on the one I got.
Oh, cool. Yeah.
Glad you were able to meet up with Finolio and see some of their stuff. Did you try on anything to double check your size and see if you got the right size and stuff?
You know what? Mm-hmm. I didn't, but I'm pretty good with the 12 and a half D in the Finolio. Okay. I should have probably tried it in like a square toe, but I'm really loving the zero toes so much. And as a matter of fact, that's what I got on right now. I got on my Finolio boots because I worked at the ranch today and I was on horseback and working. So I wore my Finolios and man, I'm really loving them. It's one of those boots, and it's a 7-toe. I don't feel like ever wanting to take that boot off. Like, I'm actually kind of depressed when I take off my boot.
Yeah, like, I mean, it's crazy comfortable. I personally think, it's really the most comfortable boot I've ever worn. I don't know. I got to try a pair, maybe in like a 10. With the insole removed and see how it is without the insole, because the insole is not very thick. I mean, it's not like you know, it's this huge padding or anything, that it doesn't seem like it's adding a lot of, you know, cushion. It's just a little bit, you know. So yeah. I would love to see how it is traditionally, and see, you know, how it actually feels to, you know, walk on it and wear it all day. So yeah, that's something I will look at in the future, is getting a pair without the insole and trying that out. So I'm looking here at this map. Did you see the Yellowstone? It looks like there's a Yellowstone.
Yeah, I saw the booth.
Yeah. What was going on there?
They were just selling some, you know, like keychains.
Soap on a rope? Soap on a rope?
Yeah, they were selling tickets to the train station. train tickets.
Train tickets?
And, yeah, train tickets. They were selling, you know, basically T-shirts. They were selling coats from Schaefer's Outfitter.
Okay.
Was it Schaefer? Yeah. Filson. They were selling Filson coats, Filson, with the Yellowstone logo on there.
Okay, they were selling, so like the Rip jacket or something?
Yeah. Filson, or was it Filson? Or no, I think it might have been Schaefer's. I think Schaefer's makes their coat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but they were selling the Rip and the, you know, the,
well, that,
the John, yeah, Dunn jacket, that, and all that.
Yeah, I think that jacket's a Filson.
Oh, it is? Yeah, it is a Filson. You're right. And I picked up a King Ranch vest over there. That was really nice. And
yeah, I saw that on, I think, Instagram? No, yeah. I saw it on somewhere. I saw it somewhere.
Put it on Facebook.
Yeah, that's what
I did a couple other reviews with it. It was a really cool vest, and I turned back and did a kind of double take when I first saw it, went inside, looked at it, and then I went and said, you know what, I'm going to convince myself not to take it, and vertically, pretty much just convince myself to take it. So
got
I
it
went
anyway.
Back in, and yeah, of course. I knew I was going to, I said I'm going to go think about it, but really, I knew I was going to go back and get it.
Yeah, you know, that all that all that King Ranch stuff is really expensive.
Yeah, it is, but a lot of it is some pretty good quality stuff. Now, you know, this is a light vest. I did really want to get one of those Filson wool vest, like a gray one, like just the
okay.
one that, you know, it's a little bit snugger. It's not so much of like a overlay vest. It's just more like of an underlay vest.
Like a what?
Like a, you know, just like one of those vests that you put on top, like the kind of deal that I was wearing at the George Strait show.
Okay. Okay. Like a fashion vest versus like a insulated vest.
Right. Exactly. Okay. Well, yeah, so you use those vests a lot just to kind of, you know, have another layer of protection, not dirty up your stuff, you know, or have, like, pockets on, like, extra pockets and stuff like that.
Okay. Yeah, I got a lot of jackets. I just kind of go with the jacket instead.
That's
most
a good
of the
looking
time.
One, man.
Thanks. I just made it myself.
Your name is Wrangler, is it?
No, it's it was a horribly ugly dark blue. Just a generic. But I have a bunch of Levi denim, and I wanted the Wrangler denim. So I threw it in the washing machine with a gallon of bleach. And
wow.
Yeah.
It turned like that?
Yep.
That looks great, man.
45 minutes and a gallon of bleach, and here we are.
That looks great. And how were you? And the Wrangler sign didn't move either.
Huh? You mean it didn't fade?
Yeah, that's what I meant.
Yeah. No. Yeah. I was kind of surprised the tag in the back, it didn't fade either. Nothing. Just the denim.
Yeah, it just turned out perfect. It's like, yeah, here.
Yeah.
Put some magical.
Yeah, it turned out. Bleach. It turned out really well. I liked it.
Magical bleach.
Yeah. Yeah. That was pretty good stuff.
Yeah, man. And, so the Cowboy Christmas ended up working out really nice. Just went and spent a little time with the family. Brother's birthday. And what else did we do? We hung out at the Caesar's Palace with my little nephew and everything. And, nice. They have those little shows at the Caesar's Palace with the statues and stuff, and ate at some pretty good restaurants. So, yeah, that was a good time.
Didn't take the kid over to Circus?
No, my brother did, but
yeah.
I was realizing I didn't realize how much time I was really spending at Cowboy Christmas. I was literally there from morning till they closed up at 4 in the afternoon. So,
well, they were out it's doing... at least... Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, they were... My brother and his wife were out doing all that stuff with the kids while I was...
Gotcha.
You know, kind of covering Cowboy Christmas. So, I missed a lot of that. I had fun at Cowboy Christmas. I had a whole heap of fun. But, It's almost a little sad that, you know, you're there with your nephews and stuff, and you have to miss out on all that stuff, you know, because, you know, you got to do that.
I don't know. You kind of went for the, you know, that specific reason.
Yeah, I did. Definitely.
So did you have to? I got two questions. I want. Actually, I have three. But anyway, did any of your family help you take the video for you, or did you have to just set up a tripod, or what'd you do?
Oh, no, I had my tripod. I had my new Manfrotto tripod, which helped me out a bunch. I had the gimbal, mm-hmm. the same one you have. Thank you for showing me that, by the way. That helped me a tremendous amount. And then I had the microphone. Actually, none of my family members went to Cowboy Christmas one time. Yeah.
My second question is, was it two stories? Cowboy Christmas, was it two or three floors?
Yes. Two floors. So what it is floors. That the whole bottom is Cowboy Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
And then the whole second level is supposed to be hunting and outdoors kind of deal. Now, they had a lot of extra Cowboy Christmas stuff upstairs, such as for instance, NRS was upstairs.
Okay.
There was, who else was up there? Another trailer company was up there, that they were really? Doing, yeah, they were all, yeah, they were doing, what is it? Oh, the specific trailers to move bulls.
Say that again.
Specific trailers to move bulls.
Okay. Their
name. Let me see.
I've only got the first so floor map open.
Yep. Swift Built.
Okay.
They were there. Who else? Wrangler also had another deal upstairs. Cinch had a second booth upstairs. Cowboy Revival was upstairs, and the 4-6s was upstairs too. Okay. And King Ranch was downstairs.
So, did you ever make it over to the American Hat Company watch party?
No, I didn't.
Should have gone over there for that.
I definitely should have. I completely forgot about that. When was that supposed to happen?
It was every night at the Mirage, I think, hotel. Man.
I can't believe I missed that.
I wish I would have remembered. Keith Mundy was there, and they were giving out door prizes and stuff. And you could watch the NFR right there with American.
Yeah, I really should have been there. I completely forgot about that.
I was busier. I should have told you.
Yeah, I should have remembered.
I can't believe Keith didn't say something while you were talking to him.
Yeah, you know what? And I'm sure he would have if they weren't just incredibly busy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, he was really kind enough just to, you know, do the interview, but he really did need to go. And I felt that and, you know, it's absolutely normal. You know, I mean, they had every single moment that I was there, the line never stopped from morning till 4 o'clock. I mean, they were slammed. I mean, all these guys were working their tails off. And so he did take a little bit of time just to do that quick little interview. But I just was trying not to be in their way too much, you know, and just to, you know, get the film done for the rest of it.
So out of everything that was at Cowboy Christmas, what was your favorite product or product category? And, you know, like something you found that was for sale that maybe was too expensive or too big to bring home that you thought, man, I really would like to have that.
Bloomer's trailer?
No.
it was too big to go home. I mean, listen, yeah. Spirit is only allowing me 40 pounds on my luggage. It would not let me bring in that trailer.
Nothing else cool? I mean, I know Bloomer was cool, and, you know, obviously American was great. You know, talking to Dale was great, but nothing else piqued your interest. You talked about those, we talked offline about those hat boxes, and I looked them up, and they're actually sold out right now, so I can't even get one of those in for a review.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. Even flying in my dad box that I bought at American Hat, they actually went and charged me even more than the hat box was, you know, cost. But I can't get a hat box here, so I took it anyway. Okay. I would say that I don't know. There's so many things I would have wanted to bring back, you know, but, and that, you know, that caught my interest. I mean, the whole experience was great. I probably, if I had to bring one more thing back, I would probably, you know, brought back one of those Filson wool vests.
Okay.
But,
look that up now.
Yep. Let me see. I'll tell
you. But Filson's so expensive.
It is, you know.
I think, I mean, I don't know. At what point is, you know, a wool jacket worth $500? I mean, is it when you put the name Filson on it? What I would love to know why that's worth $500.
Yeah,
it looks like, you know,
there's not too many reasons why that would be.
Cotton short lined cruiser jacket. So it's basically a.
Oh, here, I just sent you a picture. It's this jacket. What I like.
This jacket was $40, and their jacket is $400.
Yep. I mean, it's made out of special wool, too.
Yeah.
But
denim jacket.
That is.
Here is a denim jacket for $400. Yeah, I'm just not seeing it.
Yep.
That, it's not even a line.
This is the vest I was referring to. Just send it on the podcast deal.
Okay. If I remember, I'll put a picture of this here. Oh, that's a pretty cool vest. I like it. Was that $400?
Yeah. probably. Yeah. That in the left lung.
I'm gonna have to pick a side.
You just whichever lung you want to give, just that and $400.
Okay, here it is. No, it's $225. I think that's
it. It's not so bad.
Yeah, it's $225. And it comes in red. Oh, that's ugly.
Yeah, I wouldn't get in red. I get in gray or green. And
did you see the red one?
No.
Yeah, it's bad. Looks like it's lumberjack red, like red and black.
I need to shave my mustache and grow a beard for that one.
Yeah. Oh. No, you just grow the beard underneath the mustache.
Well, you know, I thought about like actually shaving my mustache and maybe growing a full beard.
Yeah, we talked about that on the last podcast that we had with Clay. Yeah, we talked about you just growing the beard in to match.
Yeah, I think I'm just going to shave off the mustache and start again fresh.
just go to the mall and have them line that up for you. Turn it into one of those handlebar.
One of those started curling at the end. But yeah. I think so after Christmas, now I'm kind of leaving out a detail here or I'm giving up a secret. But after Christmas, I think I'm going to shave off the mustache and start fresh.
Okay. Why is that?
I don't know. I just feel like it.
All right.
Try a new look.
There you go.
A new facial look.
All right. Anything else about Cowboy Christmas we should know? Other than we should definitely go next year. I'm definitely going next year. So that's a must.
So besides that, there was a few of the places. Now, if y'all want to go during, you know, I just found out actually. So Cowboy Christmas, y'all going to find a bunch of stuff on the bottom floor. And then go upstairs on the second floor. Also, I forgot to mention on that second floor, that's where they're hosting the junior NFR. So y'all could actually go out there and have a seat, free to watch. And y'all will see some of these really talented 14-year-olds just going out there and bucking on, you know, bareback Bronx and doing all types of things, and it's really awesome. I mean, you know, the talent that these kids have, really amazing. You know, I mean, those guys are going to be superstars very shortly.
That's cool.
So
that's cool. I didn't catch any of that. I have, you know, it's kind of all recorded. I need to go back and kind of watch some of that stuff.
Yeah. So
we've got. Go ahead.
Oh, on the second floor, they got that. And they have a bunch of stuff, but if y'all are, and most of the time, if y'all are into, you know, Western apparel and Western wear and, you know, all that stuff that y'all are tuning in for, a lot of you guys are probably into hunting and firearms as well, and they got a bunch of that. Fiocchi was there. I actually bought some of their coffee, and that was really good. I meant to buy some of the Rodeo Frontier coffee. I just didn't get around to it. I forgot. And but there was a bunch of stuff. Saddle makers. I really wanted to bring back a rope. I just didn't have enough room in my luggage to actually bring one back. So, but there was a bunch of ropes and for sales, and you could actually test them on the dummies right there and then. So that's good.
NRS has got you hooked up for a rope. You just gotta order one.
Oh yeah, there you go. I like to feel the ropes because a lot of them, some of them are these head and ropes, or some of them are heel and ropes, and different companies, rather they're soft, extra soft, medium soft. It really depends. I like soft, but certain companies, I feel like they are making their soft a little different than others. It's kind of like, shoe sizes when, they're different brands, they fit a little differently. So, I like to go and feel the rope and also see, how they're tied up at the end. So, with that being said, I do like to touch them, but now I know what they feel like, so I probably go ahead and do that. But they actually do sell ropes at the Griff's Western, right where I live. So I'll probably go pick one up over there.
There you go. Nice. Well, we've got the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo coming up next month, and then what's this San Antonio Rodeo, then the Austin Rodeo. We've got the Houston Rodeo, and the PBR Finals all coming up in this first 6 months of the new year. And you're gonna have to get over here, Lionel, and give me a hand, because I'm gonna be at all of those, and I'm gonna need some help.
For sure.
As a matter of fact, I talked to Joby. Hopefully, I'll be working at the Joby booth with them at the Fort Worth Stock Show and Rodeo next month. So we'll see how that goes.
We need one of them bloomer trailers, man.
I'm looking for a trailer, man. Anybody knows where I can get a, a trailer or a toy hauler or something like that? I need a trailer, because I got a lot
Definitely.
of traveling to do.
And
No
especially,
horses, just I need some place to sleep.
yeah, especially with finding out that a $50 a night 3-star hotel in Cheyenne turned into a $398 a night hotel room during Cheyenne Frontier days. Boy, I tell you. I think it's cheaper just to get a trailer or rent an RV.
Well, I don't know about renting, but yeah, I mean, renting might not be a horrible idea, but then still, I would imagine park fees are going to go up even during that time of the year. They're still going to be probably better than a hotel. Luckily, we know a lot of people in the areas, so never know what we can find, but for sure. Like Tim Malm lives up by Cheyenne. We get a trailer,
That's
which park
true.
it on his on his, Tim, we're gonna park a trailer at your ranch, and we're gonna stay there for Frontier Days.
There you go. Yeah. We're right there.
There you go. All right, buddy. Got anything else for me? Is that about it? I'm trying to think
Yeah,
if we
that's
got
right
anything
about
else.
it.
All right. Well, good to see you, man. It's been a while. I know
For
you've
sure.
been busy, and had all of the traveling going on, and then you got back, and you had a ton of video to get put out. So glad you got all that content, and good to see you again. We're not gonna excuse me. This is gonna be our last episode of the year. We'll be back for season two sometime around mid-January, and thanks for joining us.
Yes, sir. Y'all have a good one.